reacting to red flag words. What do we mean by that? Words can provoke a reaction in the listener that was not necessarily what the speaker intended. When that happens, the listener will not be able to hear or pay full attention to what the speaker says. Red flag words or expressions trigger an unexpectedly strong association in the listener's mind, often because of the listener's private beliefs or experiences. This ideally is something which is told to you which is strongly against your beliefs, for example. This ideally is told to you, say you worked for 10 years. Every time when you had to achieve your targets, you were probably also told, just get lost. You can never seem to do it. So, your experience. In this case, your experience since 10 years is that most of the times you're told these words. So, it makes you so much stay with those words that you're not being an effective listener. Anything else told to you after this, get lost. You can never seem to do this. Your mind will not be able to take in. Because going by your experience, you feel that this has always been the case as far as my achievements are concerned. Technology is often seen as a driver of improved communications. But technology in itself creates noise and discourse. Technology in itself creates noise and discord in as much as it melts minds. When we talk of technology, it binds people together. When we talk of technology, there's more interaction, more bonding through technology. But at the same time, improved technology can create quite noise and discord. For example, say you've had an audio video conferencing with your director. You realize that he's highly upset because of certain situations. Now, you're very happy to have that audio video conferencing talk, but you also realize that this discussion came up since there was audio video conferencing. So what does it make you feel? That had there not been audio video conferencing today, we would have probably not spoken at all and we would have been better off. So ideally, when we say it improves communications, it can also create a barrier. Good listeners have learned how to minimize the distraction caused by red flag words. If you're an active listener, no matter what's told to you, you will let go. But a red flag word will make almost any listener momentarily unable to hear with full attention. An important point is that the speaker may not have actually meant the word in the way the listener understood. However, the listener will be so distracted by the red flag that she will not notice what the speaker actually did mean to say, because you're focusing on the words. You know how people say, don't catch my words, you know? So you literally have caught on to the words. Red flag words do not always provoke emotional reactions. Sometimes they just cause slight disagreements or misunderstanding. Whenever a listener finds himself disagreeing or reacting, he should be on the lookout for red flag words or expressions, right? You know, for example, you're really dumb. If this is told to you often, right? That makes you feel that this is constantly told to me when I'm doing a project. So somewhere, the emotions erupt. Somewhere you feel your boss is calling you dumb. And that ideally makes you ineffective as a listener and makes you move back instead of going forward. When a speaker uses a word or expression that triggers a reflexive association, you as a good listener can ask the speaker to confirm whether she meant to say what you think she said. When you hear a word or expression that raises a red flag word, try to stop the conversation if possible so that you don't miss anything that the speaker says. So if, for example, you're really dumb, say, sir, I'm sorry, what's a mistake I've made? So you want to break the conversation, you want to ask and clarify as to what ideally can be done. Then ask the speaker to clarify and explain the points in a different way. This can resolve an issue. But let's be frank, by the time few things are told to you, either a word or a phrase may be told to you. It's up to you how you take it. Believing in language. One of the trickiest barriers is believing in language, a misplaced trust in the precision of words. Language is a guessing game. Speaker and listener use language to predict what each other is thinking. Meaning must always be actively negotiated. It is a fallacy, that means false rather, to think that words dictionary definition can be transmitted directly through using the word. An example here, okay, of that fallacy. I said it perfectly clearly, so why don't you understand? Of course, the naive assumption here is that the words are clear to one person, are clear to another, as if the words themselves contain absolutely no meaning. What does this mean? I said it perfectly clearly. What are you trying to say? In short, you put it forward clearly, but what is perfectly clearly? So in this kind of a situation, the assumption here is that the words that are clear to one person are clear to another, as if the words themselves contain absolute meaning. Now, when we convey, for example, if I go and say, give me the exact estimate. First I'm saying estimate, right? And then I'm saying exact. So am I not contradicting somewhere? So what I need to know, that what words I put forward to you should be effective. Now we don't need to say perfectly clearly. I put it across in the simplest of words. So why don't you understand? Perfectly clearly, it's incorrect as such. So we need to understand that believing in language, that means precision of words. How many words can I concise it, like in the near future? I can concise it and write soon. So what does this do? Precision of words, using lesser words, limited words, exact number of words. That's what we are saying. Words have a unique effect in the mind of each person because each person's experience is unique. Those differences can be small, but the overall effect of differences can become large enough to cause misunderstanding. A worse problem is that words work by pointing at experiences shared by the speaker and listener. Now, words work by pointing at experiences. That means if someone has told me something in the past, say I'm working, and if I've been told in the past that I need to ideally focus more on leadership skills because people in this team are not really working as a team. There is a high level of motivation among few people and a lot of them are demotivated. So what is it? We go by the words put forward to us and by our experiences. So in this case, what comes to my mind? In my previous organization, I was also told this. Now again, now I'm told here that please see to it that your team is bonding and there is enough cohesion amongst the members. So what comes to my mind? That words work by pointing at experiences shared by the speaker and listener. If the listener never had the experience that the speaker is using the word to point at, then the word points at nothing. Probably if the listener is listening to it for the first time, the listener might be probably introspecting, making efforts to putting in efforts to understand the word, putting in putting his mind to get the logic out of it. So then ideally the listener will substitute a different experience to match the word. Now when you talk of why is this a barrier, because the listener and the speaker are not at the same platform, they're not on the same page, which means that the speaker has to change the words. The speaker has to use different vocabulary to convince the listener. So, barrier in language is also very crucial. You as a good listener ought to practice mistrusting the meaning of words. When I say ought to practice mistrusting the meaning of words, ask the speaker supporting questions to verify what the words mean to him. Do not assume that words or expressions mean exactly the same. So, when you talk of language, where can there be language barriers? Firstly, the words which you understand and the words which he, the speaker and the listener, the same words can have different meanings, right? A simple example, when I use the word inquiry, INQUIRY and ENQUIRY. Both are pronounced as inquiry, but both have different meanings. Okay? So do not assume words or expressions mean exactly the same to you as they do to the speaker. You can stop the speaker and question the meaning of a word. You should, because if you do not understand certain aspects of words, it's very important that you can stop the speaker. Doing that too often becomes, of course, an obstacle. But if you suspect that the speaker's usage of the word might be slightly different, you ought to take time to explore that before the difference leads to misunderstanding. Right? So, if the word is ideally in a manner whereby the differences in thought process lead you to another page, that means you need to understand it's best to ask the speaker what he or she means. Mixing up the forest and trees. A common saying refers to an inability to see the forest for the trees. Sometimes people pay such close attention to detail that they miss the overall meaning. You know, you've been so meticulous, you want to look into every minute aspect, that you miss the larger details. Some speakers are what we call trees people. They prefer concrete, detailed explanation. They want in-depth explanation. They might explain a complex situation just by naming or describing its characteristics in no particular order. So firstly, they're not going in a logical order. Then ideally, it's a complex situation. When it's a complex situation, it has to be explained appropriately. When it's a complex situation, it has to go in an orderly manner. And it has to be explained in the simplest of words. But the people are so focused on the other aspects that they miss out on understanding that situation because it is complex. So take, for example, a complex situation whereby you probably in your organization have decided that you're going to see to it that 5 people will have to quit. Now, when you realize and when you have been informed that 5 people will have to quit, you get to know that another 5 also wish to leave willingly. Now, the topic or discussion is such that 10 people wish to leave. But what about the other aspects? Such as how many are willingly leaving, how many are told to leave, what can be done to handle the situation, how do we put it across to others in the meanwhile till we're looking for hiring new staff. So all those aspects. Other speakers are forest people when they have to explain complex situations. They prefer to begin by giving a sweeping, abstract bird's eye view, overall view. Good explanations involve both types, with the big picture forest view providing context and overall meaning, and specific trees view providing illuminating examples. So you explain the entire situation, you give examples, you link that situation to the people whom you're explaining all your information, and make them feel that they understand the situation appropriately and come up with effective solutions. Mixing up forests and trees. When trying to communicate complex information, the speaker accurately needs to shift between forests and trees. So, explaining the complex situation, giving examples. However, speakers often forget to use turn indicators to signal they're shifting from one to another. See, when I'm explaining a complex problem, it is a problem per se. When I'm giving an example, I'm linking that example to the problem. But that same example may not be an effective solution for that problem. It's like this. You have a problem in your organization. You realize that as far as work is concerned, social loafing is one aspect which is happening. That means, what is social loafing? In a team, in a group, you realize that out of 6 people, 2 people don't get motivated to work. Why? Reduced levels of motivation. Why? They know that the other four people will work. So how do you deal with this? You realize that they are part of a team. They're taking credit for all the success, but there's zero contribution. Now, when I give a solution to this, what may be effective and useful for a solution or as a solution in your organization for these two people may not be as easily implemented or effective for the as a solution in other organizations. So we need to have a link that we are shifting from this to the next step, which can cause confusion or misunderstanding for the listener, because suddenly the listener is with the problem, then suddenly the listener's focus is with the you can say example. So it confuses. For example, trees people often have trouble telling the listener which of the details are more important and how those details fit into the overall context. That means ideally, when you say which of the details, you have a whole lot of points. But every point, how is it useful in that situation? Now here we talk of two people who have reduced levels of motivation. What will be the key factors or points here? That okay, why are those two people having reduced levels of motivation? What can be done to increase the levels of motivation? Will that solution work? If we talk of incentives, will it work? Maybe. Can we probably say that their ideally appraisal will definitely not go through because going by the past records, they've not really worked effectively for the ongoing projects or targets. So what are you trying to say? Do you focus on each point in relation to them, or do you realize that we only talk of the incentives which will fit into the bill? That means we know that they're going to realize incentives not there, it's going to be a problem. So that's what they are saying, that trees people often have trouble telling their listener which of the details are more important and how those details fit into that situation or the context. They can also fail to tell the listener that they're making a transition from one thought to another, a problem that quickly shows up in writing, right? When you are giving information in written communication, you need to go in a logical manner, go stepwise. Forest people, on the other hand, often baffle the listeners with obscure abstractions. What do we mean by this? They tend to prefer using concepts, but sometimes those concepts are so removed from the world of senses that the listeners get lost. They tend to prefer using concepts. What do we mean by this? The explanation is so concept-based, so, abstract. When I say so concept-based and abstract, it's not really having a link to what I want to convey to you. And when it's not having a link to what I want to convey to you, you will be equally lost as a listener. Take for example, we're discussing these slides. If I suddenly start talking about a movie, where's the link? So you will feel, what kind of explanation is this? She's giving an example or talking of a movie suddenly. So what is the link? There is no link. So that's what they are saying. Trees people commonly accuse forest people of going off tangent. That means forest people go completely haywire, okay? Or speaking in unwarranted generalities. That means trees people say that, look, you're just going off track. I give an example of talking of a movie. Forest people feel that trees people are too narrow and literal. They don't know how to put information forward effectively. That's what is said when you talk of forest people telling trees people. You as a good listener can explicitly ask the speaker for overall context or for specific details as needed. You should cross-verify by asking the speaker how the trees fit together to form the forest. Having an accurate picture of how the details fit together is crucial to understanding the speaker's thoughts. Your questions can be put up with the speaker's consent, either during or after the message is passed on to you. An important point to remember is that a trees speaker may become confused or irritated if you ask the listener, try to supply missing context. And a forest speaker may become impatient or annoyed if you try to supply missing examples. So what are we trying to say? That first and foremost, if you have anything to say, you should take the consent of the speaker. Secondly, when a message is being passed on, you may become irritated if The listener is trying to give missing context. Now, if I'm a speaker and you as a listener are trying to give missing context, I as a speaker may not like it depending on how I think of this situation, may not like it thinking that you're telling me you know more than me, so probably it can become an ego issue. I as a speaker may not approve of this because I would be made to feel that in front of everybody you want to prove that you know more than me. So you're trying to say that you have better knowledge or information than me. And in the other case, in the forest speaker, in the other case where we talk of forest speaker, they may become impatient or annoyed if you try to supply missing examples. So again, you give examples and you probably give examples which you know I have not given. So again, trying to fill in the gaps. Both these are not appreciated. Now, this is a barrier as a listener. This is a barrier for the listener. Why? Because the listener may feel, I know much more and I'm telling you this. Oversplitting or overlumping. Speakers have different styles of organizing thoughts when explaining complex situations. Some speakers, splitters, they tend to pay more attention as to how things are different. Other speakers, lumpers, tend to look for how things are alike. This is a matter of temperament, how you think your thought process. Somewhere you want to think that what you and he, speaker and listener, think are absolutely different. And somewhere the speaker and listener want to feel they're absolutely the same. If the speaker and listener on the opposite sides of the speaker lumper spectrum, absolutely on opposite sides, the different mental styles can cause lack of understanding. Right? You're one side of people who say that, okay, we think absolutely different, and the other side of people absolutely think alike. Both these can create confusion. A listener who is an oversplitter can inadvertently signal that he disagrees with the speaker over everything. That means I don't agree with you on a single point. Even if he actually agrees with most of what the speaker says. This is more because you want the speaker to feel that you're incorrect. You want the speaker to feel that you know much more. You want the speaker to feel that I don't agree to you at all, no matter what. And only disagrees with an annoyance or point of emphasis. Now, let us take an oversplitter. He signals that he disagrees with the speaker over everything, even if he actually agrees with most of what the speaker says. Okay? That means from within, I agree to you. From within, I disagree to only 1 out of 10 points. But I show that I am not agreeing with you at all on any point. That's what they're trying to say out here when we talk of oversplitter. So let's take, you give your colleague expert advice on a particular topic. Your colleague from within feels these are very effective points, but on the face of it, the colleague says, sorry, I don't agree to anything to what you've said, and I disagree with what you have said. That can cause noise and interfere with fear with the flow of communication, conversation. It's a fact, because the moment I say, I'm sorry, I don't agree to you, you will say his body language showed that he did. What happened now? So that can affect the flow of conversation. Likewise, a listener who is an overlumper can let crucial differences of opinion go unchallenged. You do not agree on a lot of aspects, but you just let go. You do not challenge the person or the situation. It can lead to serious misunderstanding later. See, at that juncture, you feel, let go. I did not want to discuss this with him. You feel it's fine. But later on, there can be scope for problem and misunderstanding. The speaker will mistakenly assume that the listener has understood and agreed. For example, you four have worked together in a team. You realize that one of your colleagues has not been bothered to really participate, has probably been too involved with his own personal health problems. So when the director asks that, did you feel that Mr. Thomas cooperated? You say, it was okay. So you're letting it go at that juncture. Later on, it can lead to a problem. Now, why do you let go? Because at that juncture, your boss will say that Mr. Thomas has always been cooperative. He's very efficient as far as results are concerned, and I'm glad he was a part of your team. I hope he cooperated. So the first three sentences which he said about Mr. Thomas made you feel, let it go unchallenged right now. If I say anything against Mr. Thomas, it may backfire. So you let go. It is important to achieve a good balance between splitting, that is critical thinking, and lumping, metamorphical, to bring about changes. Even more important is for the listener to recognize when the speaker is splitting and when she is lumping. So are you talking in terms of metamorphism or are you talking in terms of being critical? That means a critical thinker. To overcome this barrier, ask questions to determine more precisely where you agree or disagree with what the speaker is saying, and then to explicitly point out when appropriate. You might say, I think we have differing views on several points here, but do we at least agree that? That means you can agree on to one point. Or we agree with each other on most of this, but I think we have different views in the area of. So the way it is put forward, how it is handled, that is most important. By actively voicing the points of convergence and divergence, right? Something which is similar and something which goes in opposite directions. The listener can create a more accurate mental model of the speaker's mind and reduce the conversational noise that arises when they fail to realize how their minds are aligned or unaligned. Conversational noise can actually be arguments, heated discussions or debates. So that can lead to chaos. Thus, good listening is arguably one of the most important skills which one has to have. We're talking of the conclusion now. Families need good listening to face complicated stress together. We suggest effective listening is a part of day-to-day life wherever you are. Corporate employees need it to solve complex problems quickly and stay competitive. Students need to understand complex issues in the fields. Much can be gained by improving listening skills. When the question of how to improve communication comes up, most attention is paid to making people better speakers or writers. That means the supply side, rather than making them better listeners. The focus should be on better listeners or readers. More depends on listening than speaking. What do you speak? What you've heard, what you've listened to. What do you speak, what you've seen around, and what you've experienced. What do you speak, what you have read. So more to do with you being an effective listener. Especially skillful listener will know how to overcome many of the deficiencies of a weak or disorganized speaker. Very important. On the other hand, it won't matter how eloquent or cogent a speaker is if the listener is not paying attention. You know, if the listener is not paying attention, however effective you are, it won't matter. The listener bears more responsibility than the speaker for the quality of communication. Listening is defined as applying oneself to hearing something. In verbal communication, it is to hear while giving attention to what is being said. It is an ability that can be cultivated and practiced into a skill. It is a skill. It's an art. Now, listening is an art because you should understand, even if you're not 100% focused, somewhere your mind is able to retain all what is said. How? By picking up the key words. If I say five sentences, what are the key or most important words in those five sentences? That is what will make me an active listener. It's like this. If you read an email, there's an executive summary. Now, an executive summary is what the entire email may have in fewer words. So, what does it mean? The person will read the keywords and understand. Our listening efficiency can be affected by numerous factors. How much we have on our minds, recently hearing distressing events in the market or office, and even culture can affect our listening efficiency. Effective listening or science of listening is knowing the difference between what is said, what you hear, and what is meant. Now, if something is said, that's what I hear. What is meant will again differ. Effective listening involves four stages: sensing, understanding, evaluating, responding, which we've discussed. To be a good listener, you need to hear the message as it is being delivered. Be attentive all throughout. Focus and attempt to stay away from distractions. Wait before you respond and not rushing with your queries or questions. Concentrate on the speaker. Visualize in your mind what is being conveyed. Pay attention, very important, to nonverbal messages, and always observe. Listen and ask until you have grasped the message in totality. The 8 steps to ensure your audience is listening. Choose the right time, right place. Remove distractions. Organize and clarify in your mind so that the thoughts go appropriately, that means flow effectively. Be clear, stay on the topic, do not digress. Make use of time. Do not forget to thank your listeners. The following are 8 common barriers to good listening. Suggestions for overcoming each. Listeners feel they know what the speaker is going to say. They know the answer and fail to listen. A simple strategy for overcoming the knowing of the answer is to wait for 3 seconds after the speaker finishes before beginning your reply. That gap ideally is to understand again what was said. That gap ideally is that, okay, should I ideally answer or should I realize that the speaker has already given the answer to? Another significant barrier to good listening is trying to be helpful. Schedule a separate session for giving advice and do not interrupt. Some people feel that agreeing with the speaker during a heated discussion is a sign of weakness. We discuss this. Competitive debate serves useful purposes, can be fun. Debating should be scheduled for a separate session. Good listening depends on listening just for the sake of listening. Any motive will diminish the effectiveness of the listener. We've discussed this. Trying to influence or impress, we had discussed, right? Reacting to red flag words, very important, how you react. When a speaker uses a word or expression that triggers a reflexive association, you as a good listener can ask the speaker to confirm whether she meant to say what you think she said. Now, what happens very often is that what was meant in terms of the intention by the speaker and what the listener takes to be as that intention, both have to be in synchronization. That means when the speaker puts forward something, what is the intention of the speaker? Does the listener take that to be the same intention, or the thinking of the listener will vary? A common saying refers to an inability to see the forest of the trees, which we discuss. You as a good listener can ask the speaker for overall context or details. Self-assessment questions. Is listening an art or a science? Why? It is an art, right? It's a skill to focus and listen. How will you ensure that your message is being listened to? I would say we require the person to be very enthusiastic. I would say we require the person to be very updated with information. I would say have effective interaction, two-way communication to make the audience feel they're a part of it. A common saying refers to an inability to see the forest for the trees. How does it apply to listening? We discuss this. Enumerate barriers to listening. Take your own case. What, according to you, are your barriers to listening? What, according to you, makes you feel that you are not an effective listener? Why does this happen often? Does this always happen only with one person in your organization, or as an individual it happens often? We have completed chapter 9. Thank you.